Life was bitter to the core. There was nothing to live for until love came.
My name is Harold J. Perkins, and at the age of 17, I was selling drugs and on my way to an early grave. While sitting in my house with about 10 guys, God gave me an out-of-body experience, and I was lifted above the room. I could see everything moving in slow motion. After that, I got up and put those guys out, and I cried out to Jesus Christ. He came into my life with liberty and purpose. Then I ran into religion. And it has taken me over 40 years to navigate through religion to fully understand what came into me that day. This podcast is to help put you on a faster track than it took me to get through religion and experience life, liberty, and purpose on a higher level. So get ready. We're about to start a revolution. Again, welcome. On this episode, I'm going to correct and clarify some things I said in an earlier episode. But first, I want to ask you some questions that I want you to ask yourself. These are things that are recorded in the Bible as factual events that actually happened. So here's what I want you to ask yourself. Do you really believe the Red Sea opened and millions of people walked through the sea with walls of water on each side? Question two, do you really believe that three men went into a fiery furnace and came out alive, not even smelling like smoke? Question number three, do you really believe that a man spoke to the sun and commanded it not to go down, and it obeyed him and did not go down for just about a whole day? Now, if you say you really believe the God of the Bible did all these things, how are you living your life today? If this is your God, are you taking risk that either he comes through in power for you or you go down? In other words, do you have big expectations and you're taking actions in line with your expectations? You see, all these things I just mentioned happen under the old covenant, and the Bible says that we have a better covenant now that we're under the new covenant. Should we not expect more? Would not the God that created the earth do more in this earth toward the end of this earth? Would he not show himself in greater power and in greater glory? Well, again, Job chapter 2 says he will. Now, I plan to be in what God is doing in this day and the days ahead, so I put all my weight on what he has said. Either I see him move like he said he was going to, like he said he was going to move in the manner of the Old Testament, or I go down. I understand that this is not common for most believers, but who wants to be common? I desire to see and be a part of the supernatural of what God is doing. And if that's what you desire, then take steps of faith and find out that God is who he has revealed himself to be in the Bible. You know, I've shared a number of testimonies with you where God has shown up with supernatural power today. And I'm expecting greater manifestations of his power in the days ahead. And I'm saying to you that he wants to do the same for you. But in order to walk in expectation of seeing the power of God, you've got to spend some time in the Spirit, and that's where reading the Bible and prayer comes in. Jesus said to go make disciples, not churchgoers. I believe this is why most people don't stand strong and see God move. They're not taking time to build their faith on a consistent basis, their faith in God. There is no better investment of your time. Okay, let's clarify some things I said a few episodes earlier. I read from Colossians 2, chapter 2, verses 9 through 16, where it talked about Jesus dying for our sins, forgiving us of all of our transgressions, and nailing the law to the cross. And verse 16 says there, let no man judge you in meat and drink or respect of a holy day. And I added to that, let no man judge you in anything, because it's Holy Spirit that will now write on your heart what you are to do, since there is no actual written law. Now, let me correct and clarify some things. First of all, we are to judge ourselves. You know, if you've been listening to previous episodes, I showed in the Bible that various passages that the spirit that is in Christ Jesus cannot sin. Also, that the law was fulfilled by Jesus. It was nailed to the cross. It died with him. It passed away. God does not and will never again credit sin to us, the believer in Jesus Christ. However, the Bible talks about God being merciful to our unrighteous deeds of the flesh, not the spirit. They're called unrighteous deeds of the flesh, works of the flesh, deeds of dead works. Here are a few examples. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." Notice this says repentance from dead works. Now, remember, I covered in previous episodes Romans 8:10, where it says that the body is dead because of sin being in the body. But the spirit, the same verse says, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. So the death has to do with the body. Dead works, the body's deeds is what that has to do with. Okay. Now I'm going to read also Galatians 5:19, where it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness," and it goes on in other verses to mention others. Now, they're called works of the flesh, okay? I'm going to go here again to Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 through 12. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they will be to me a people." Now, I'm going to stop right there. Now, why does he say, "I'm going to write the laws in your mind and in your heart"? Because the written law has passed away. So he's going to actually write on your heart what he has for you and wants you to do. Okay, now, I'm going to continue to read in verse 11. "And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness." Now, I'm going to show you in a moment that that has to do with the flesh, "and their sins and iniquity." Now, here we're talking about the spirit, the sins and iniquity will I remember no more. Now, notice he uses the word remember. Why does he do that? Because the sins and iniquities won't be remembered anymore because they died with Christ. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God, you are accepting that Jesus took your sins and he took your iniquities. So if God already credited to Jesus, how is he now going to credit it to you? That's unjust. If he allowed Jesus to die in your place and carry your sins and iniquity, how can he turn around and then credit them to you? He will not. But he's talking about the unrighteousness has to do with your flesh, has to do with your body. Now, the King James Version says unrighteousness here, but the New English Translation says evil deeds. "I will be merciful to your evil deeds of the flesh." And then the HCSB version says wrongdoing. So God will be merciful to our evil deeds of the flesh because our body has not been changed. Okay. Wrongdoings of the flesh. In God's eyes, he does not see us as sinning with our flesh. Okay. He sees it just as what we just read: wrongdoing, deeds or works of the flesh. Okay, because again, the latter part of the verse tells us he'll remember our sins and iniquity no more because they died on the cross with Christ. However, God is expecting us to get control of our flesh. And in the meantime, he's going to be merciful to us. Okay, why is he expecting that? Because we have the power of Christ on the inside of us. And then we also have the Holy Spirit of grace on the inside of us. So therefore, if we are examining ourselves and judging ourselves, then we're going to recognize, okay, I need to get control of this. So we are to judge ourselves, or at some point, God will judge us. Okay. Meaning in things that we don't, we continue, we know in our spirit, something's telling us that this is wrong and we're not working on it. And the Holy Spirit may be in saying in our heart that we should be. Okay. But God's mercy could run out and then he'll judge us. Let me give you an example. I remember a minister named Kenneth Hagin tell how he went to pray for a man that was sick. This man was already up in age already. And so he went and laid hands on the man to pray for him to be healed. And he closed his eyes, but he felt his hand lifted up. And so he stopped. Okay. Then he went to pray again. And again, his hand was lifted up off of the man. I think he did it a third time as well. And the same thing happened. Then he said, Lord, what's going on? Because he finally realized that God was lifting his hand. And so he said, what's going on? And the Lord said to him, don't pray for him to be healed. I have been waiting on him to judge himself in a certain area for 20 years, and he has not. He's got all his business affairs in order. There's never a better time for him to leave than right now. He's going to die. But you lay hands on him, and I will fill him with the Holy Spirit, and he'll leave in glory. So Brother Hagin did. He laid hands on him. The man received. Then they called the man's family in. He had a glorious time with them. He was able to tell them all goodbye, and he left in glory. Now, Brother Hagin said he left there in tears, crying, because how merciful God was to wait on this man for 20 years to judge himself, but to still give this man a glorious departure. Wow, what a God we have. Now, so God is expecting us to judge ourselves. And he may not wait for us for 20 years like he did with this man. Mercy is at God's discretion. Now, the other side of this is, we should be submitted to a man or woman of God who is looking after our soul. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch over your soul as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You know, I have a pastor who speaks into my life on a weekly basis. He takes it serious to hear from God and gets a fresh word every week. I've been amazed at how this man has spoken into my life over the last few years. I'm telling you, boy, he's been accurate. But what God has been saying to me, he has been confirming those things. And that's how you know you're in the right place. You're at the right church. You're under the right leadership because God is speaking to you. And we all should have somebody that is speaking into our lives. And I've seen this over the years, many years at churches that I was at before, how accurately, I remember even going back as far as playing baseball when I was in New York playing, and my pastor was in Los Angeles, and he's speaking words into my life. I picked him up on television. So we all should be submitted to a man of God. Now, God may use spiritual leadership to judge you if you don't judge yourself. Paul writes to a church in Corinth to judge what was going on. Here's an example, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. He says, it says in verse 1, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Now I'm gonna take a side journey, stop there for a minute. You know, many people say, well, how do I know the Bible is written by God? How do I know man didn't come up with this? Right here is how you know. And if you go back and look at the Old Testament, you'll see it as well. You know, anybody that's trying to get you to follow their religion doesn't want to put the dirty laundry out, right? They want to put the rosy stuff out and tell you the rosy things so, you know, they can get you to follow. But God is inspired the Holy Spirit to write men to write the Bible and put in the garbage. He's writing to the church here, and he's letting you know that in the church here, this man was having his father's wife. I'm going to continue at verse 2. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now, here's what we got to understand here. This man knew better than to have his father's wife. And all the church knew about it and did nothing. So this man nor the church saw this as being wrong. They were taking their liberty for granted, and God judged them through Paul. Now, I'm gonna share another story here of a prophet of God. I heard him tell about an experience he had. He went to minister at a church, and God revealed to him that the pastor of the church was having an adulterous relationship with a lady in the church. And so he spoke it out to the pastor and the church. Now, the likelihood that God let it and did it in that way was that the pastor refused to judge himself. Okay, so after this, the pastor did repent. He stepped down as pastor and started the process in getting his life back on course. And my understanding is that he did get his life back on course, and he came back strong and free. Now, these were a couple of things where people did not judge themselves. And if you're struggling with some things, but you really want to live in victory, and you find yourself falling down from time to time, keep getting up, keep feeding your spirit, keep reading and praying, keep going after God. Don't let what you're doing or what your flesh is doing stop you from continuing to pursue him. God sees your heart. You know, he knows whether you're sincere or not, and you should know your own heart, whether you're sincere or not. I know there were times in my early walk with the Lord that I was really sincere, you know, about God, but I was falling down in some areas, but I kept getting up, you know, knowing that I would get the victory over this at some point. And so we are to keep fighting the good fight of faith. The Bible calls it the good fight of faith because we win. Actually, we've already won if we don't quit. We just have to outlast the devil. He has already been defeated. And as we hold our ground, the defeat that he has already suffered will show up. Our spirit, if fed, has the power to overcome the works of the flesh. And God will be merciful to it in the process of us doing that. But at the same time, we should be working at it. As you have heard here, God is merciful. But I don't know about you. I never want to have his mercy run out on me. So I self-examine myself all the time. I believe it's a good practice. So we're always moving toward the better that God has for us. He has great things for all of us. If we will judge ourselves and keep moving forward, then I believe that we'll experience greater and greater and greater manifestation of God's love. Let me say right here, if you don't know our living Savior, Jesus Christ, you can get to know him now. Pray this prayer with me. Say, God, I believe that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins. Jesus, I accept you into my life as my Lord and my Savior. Help me to live this life. Thank you. That's it. It's that simple. If you believe what you just prayed, he has come in. Start reading the Bible for yourself. You can start in the book of St. John and in the book of Romans, and God will begin to show you his purpose for your life, and he'll begin to show himself unto you. Okay. We'll see you on the next episode.